On Saturday, the PawSox ruled out using part of the former I-195 land as a new home for the minor league baseball team. The PawSox say they'll now consider other locations as a possible stadium site. Now, joining us to talk about the PawSox initial plan falling apart is Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter Ian Donis. Hello, Ian.
Hi there, Dave.
So why did the PawSox finally pull the plug on using their preferred choice of that former I-195 land for a ballpark?
Well, let's go back to the beginning, Dave. A lot of people will remember that the PawSox unveiled a proposal back in April calling for $120 million in public subsidies over 30 years, as well as a complete exemption on Providence property taxes. A lot of people thought that was outrageous, and let's remember this was all occurring in the shadow of the state's losing investment in 38 Studios, the video game company started by former Red Sox star Curt Schilling that went bankrupt in 2012, leaving state taxpayers on the hook for more than $100 million. At the time of the PawSox initial proposal, Jim Skeffington, the Providence lawyer and longtime local dealmaker, seemed sure that he would be able to convince everyday Rhode Islanders and powerful politicians alike of the merits of the PawSox proposal to use part of the former I-195 land. But I think Skeffington was still kind of operating as if it was the 1980s and he could just get elites together in a back room and build consensus that way. There was just very vociferous public opposition to this that gave a lot of politicians cold feet. The PawSox faced another setback when Skeffington died unexpectedly after jogging in May. And while some people posit the outcome here as a matter of public opinion, I think it's actually more complex than that. The PawSox initial proposal died a death of 1,000 cuts. And the fact is that even when the PawSox and House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello were talking kind of optimistically about the outlook, the administration of Governor Gina Raimondo pointed out how there were still a number of hurdles that had to be crossed. As it turned out, Brown University wanted $15 million for part of the land for the intended stadium site. The Federal Highway Administration raised concerns. The City of Providence that wanted to be compensated for any direct or indirect expenses. So blowing up the cost of the stadium from about $75 million to $100 million was also a significant factor in why the PawSox ultimately decided to rule out the former I-195 land.
So, Ian, what's the next step for the PawSox?
Well, the team says it's going to look far and wide. It's not putting any geographic boundaries on its next possible location for a stadium. And if you were the PawSox, you would think you would benefit by getting more than one potential site, perhaps more than one potential community bidding against each other. We've seen a lot of skepticism on the use of a public subsidy, not only in Rhode Island, but also from the city fathers in Worcester, Massachusetts. Worcester is about as populous a city as Providence and could make some sense as an alternative location. One site that's probably going to get a closer look right now is the so-called Victory Place site. This is on the border of the Jewelry District in Providence. And Providence Mayor Jorge Alorza says he sees Victory Place as a feasible option for the PawSox, even though the site was acquired earlier this month by the giant healthcare organization Lifespan. Lifespan is not doing anything to, on the surface at least, to discourage or encourage consideration of this site, but they're not doing anything to rule it out either. You know, if you listen to what the PawSox have said, they say to boost their attendance and therefore their revenue, they need to be in a more dense location, a place with more people, and somewhere in Providence would seemingly fit the bill if they decide to pursue that rather than going out of state.
Okay, looking at all the possible options, what about keeping the PawSox at McCoy Stadium in Pawtucket.
Well, one thing that's been clear in this whole issue is the amount of affection that Rhode Islanders have for McCoy Stadium. We've all been there. We've all appreciated the cheap ticket prices. It's very low-key and casual and fun. You don't have to break the bank or deal with parking headaches to go there like you do if you go to Fenway Park in Boston. And Rhode Islanders seem to think there's nothing really wrong with McCoy Stadium. Why doesn't the team stay there? The Paw Sox view it differently. They say McCoy Stadium is one of the oldest ballparks of its type. They have not been willing to release a feasibility study on restoring McCoy, although they have ruled out staying at there. And that's still the line from the Paw Sox, that staying at McCoy Stadium is not an option. And it's also worth noting that attendance has trended down for many years at McCoy Stadium. It reached a high point, not so surprising, a year after the Red Sox won their first world championship in 86 years in 2004 and continued strong for a few years amid the hoopla that followed and with another Red Sox world championship in 2007. But that attendance has continued to trend down since then, sinking to a level not seen since the late 1990s. One thing that some people seem to forget who see the Paw Sox as a beloved institution, that, you know, this, after all, is a private business, and if the owners so choose, they can pick up and go somewhere else.
Does that collapse of the Paw Sox initial plan for the new ballpark at the waterfront in downtown Providence, does this make it more likely the Paw Sox will just leave Rhode Island?
That's really a big question right now, and it's hard to offer a definitive answer. One would suspect, as I said a bit earlier, the Paw Sox will try and draw the widest amount of possible interest, possibly from such areas outside of Rhode Island as Worcester or Foxborough, where the Patriots play. I spoke about 2 weeks ago with the town manager in Foxborough. He said there had been no discussion in town government about the Paw Sox over the last year, although if there is any talk with Robert Kraft and the Patriots organization, that would be going on behind closed doors, and not even the town manager would be likely to know about it. It would be a hit to Rhode Island's psyche if the Paw Sox were to leave Rhode Island. Elected officials would like to keep the team here, but as Governor Raimondo said when she was visiting with us last week, she does not feel that keeping the Paw Sox justifies a large outlay of taxpayers' money. The question is whether the Paw Sox can be convinced to stay in Rhode Island even without a significant subsidy, and that's something we'll just have to wait and see in the weeks and months to come.
Okay, Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter Ian Donis. Ian, thanks for filling us in on the update on the Paw Sox situation.
Thank you, Dave.